travelers, and welcome to another episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to Ethical Non-Monogamy, ENM for short. I am your host, Ike, also known as Sir Hito in certain circles, and I would like to welcome you back to this lovely little podcast of mine. Be sure to follow, subscribe, like, share, you know, give 5 stars on Apple and Spotify because, you know, I'd be bringing you the goods. Also, be sure to like and share because, you know, I'll just be out here just trying to do my thing, try to spread a little knowledge, spread a little personal things that I've kind of discovered that may be able to help you out in one way or another. Or just kind of feed you some knowledge in your mind where you could just be like, oh, never thought about it that way. And so, yeah, help a brother out trying to get out there a little bit more with the talks that we have. Yeah, I did not have an episode last week. Was kind of preoccupied. I kind of started a new, stronger dose of Vyvanse, and, yeah, your boy was not getting any sleep. Well, I eventually would sleep, but I'd just be up and awake, and it'll just take me to, like, noon before I fall asleep. Oh my god, my eyes. For the YouTube people, you are seeing me rub my eyes, which I don't think is what you're supposed to do, but look. It feels good. But yeah, for the most part, new stronger Vyvanse. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can work with this. It does help the Vyvanse last a full 12 hours, but the fact that it lasts a full 12 hours is throwing me off. But yeah, I'm back again to go ahead and record episode middle of March, you know, trying to be a little bit more consistent, like I said. I haven't been doing too much. I did record an episode with Kinks with Kiki last week and my co-host Jam on my other podcast, which was a fun, good time. Be sure to check that out. What else did I do? Still need to communicate with a gentleman that is requesting my services for a hedonism trip in 2025, where I will be, honestly, given a display, a demo, and all these other kind of things. So we'll see how that goes. I really have not been doing too much after that because it's just really been work, figuring things out, budgeting, work, because, you know, living comfortably is not cheap. And this one is like, you know, minimum level of comfort, a lot of money out the bank account, but, you know, just been working with that. In terms of like dates and partnership, haven't gone out there yet because I'm trying to make sure there's a lot more stable ground, helping my anchor partner, get a new, like helping her with finding a new car. Cause essentially I just let her use my car to get to work. I just be sleeping because, you know, I work from home. Like, that's the benefit I have. So, you know, go ahead and use my car, but hopefully she'll have, hers replaced in the next couple of weeks. So that way I can be mobile again. And also there's a lot of things that I need to do outside of dating anyway. So I'm gonna go ahead and focus on that. Yeah, there's not really too much that's been going on, at least not yet. Like, after this weekend, it is going to be a busy, like, 5 weeks, because next week I go to Philly for the Fun Sexuals Kinky Kickback in Philly. Weekend after that, I go to a friend's wedding. Weekend after that, I go to a meetup, Whore Tour 2024, cheers, where that I'll be going to Houston for that. And then the week after that, going back to Houston for, a daytime play party. And then the week after that, going to New York to go see a friend that I have not seen in years, as well as just, you know, maybe I might check out, Inzuri's Naughty Nights party. Maybe I'll swing by, Bliss's party. Like, I don't know yet, but we'll see. We'll figure it out then. So yeah, so gonna be a little bit of a busy beat. After this week, so I'm glad I actually took last week to kind of just get together the whole Vyvanse thing. I spent the weekend sleeping throughout most of it. I did go with my anchor partner to this nice little fun thing. We have a park out here called Zilker, and there's this group that threw this thing they're calling Sunday Sessions. We're just playing music. We're just vibing on the outside in the good weather because it is reaching spring. So, yeah, daylight savings also kicked my ass last week, but, you know, my body's getting accustomed to it. The time gremlins have stolen an hour from me, but it's okay. I'm all right. I mean, I'm okay. Like, I need them to make up their mind. Let's go ahead and end this, or let's go ahead and continue. Like, Look, either give me my darkness or give me my daylight. No matter what, I'm going to be a night owl. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you could see, well, maybe you couldn't see from the title because it is a little bit. I saw this very funny meme and I feel like from here on out, anytime I want to talk about this certain topic, I'm going to use it. Bagels, donuts, scones, muffins, BDSM. So, yes, you can see from the title, we're talking BDSM, kink, and E&M. And someone might ask, like, why this? Like, what's the correlation here? What's going on here? And honestly, what I can honestly say is, like, because I've been to BDSM events, I've been to certain circles, and there are also, like, other things involving, like, people may have a certain kink or whatnot. And it just seems like everyone in the BDSM and kink community is not E&M, but they at least understand the overarching concepts that can come with being in an ethically non-monogamous relationship or dynamic. So that's the reason why I kind of want to talk about that. Like, the correlations, my own personal look into these kinds of things, and kind of go from there. Now, just to go ahead and give a quick breakdown. So, what is BDSM? What is kink? So, BDSM. All right, let's see if I can do this from memory. Because your boy only does outlines. I have not done like a fully written thing ever. And I definitely have not written out what this is. So, BDSM is bondage, domination, sadomasochism. I think that's what it is. All right, let me do a quick Google because, let's see. Ah, okay. See, I knew. I wasn't all the way you see. But bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism, or sadomasochism. So I was close. I felt like I knew I was short and I was being short with it. Because I know, like, they're like fusions on fusions on fusions. So yes, bondage, domination, you know, being bound, being handcuffed, tied, trapped under a latex mat bed, bondage, as well as domination, essentially commanding, controlling, you know, there is that person that's on top commanding those that are on the bottom, dominance and submission. So we all have heard of doms and subs, or at least some people have heard some level of, be it dom or sub. If you want to break it down to vanilla terms, it's really just like you have your supervisor and you have your worker. The supervisor is the one guiding the worker on what to do at any given time. You know, that's pretty much capitalism is a whole DS dynamic, but we don't see it that way. And then of course, sadomasochism, just pretty much a sadist is someone that derives pleasure from doing something to someone, particularly providing pain to someone. And masochist is someone that derives pleasure from receiving that, i.e. receiving that pain. As far as kinks, now there's a difference between kinks and fetishes. There is a line of demarcation, like they're kind of similar up into a point. So what a kink is that it is an arbitrary, be it item or mental item, something that's just like outside of what society has deemed as the norm, that provides you a level of kind of gratification, sexual gratification, something that get those endorphins going for you. Now, the difference between a kink and a fetish is, for a fetish, that arbitrary item, that arbitrary idea, that is required for you to reach sexual gratification or satisfaction. Like, for example, there are some people out there that cannot orgasm unless you play with their nipples. Or there are some people that cannot orgasm unless you are, like, performing breath play, choking them, or doing something additional for them to reach that gratification. That's more on the side of fetish. But, like, a kink, massaging feet, sucking toes, like, it's not needed, but it's desired. But to get that gratification, it's not like a requirement. So that's kind of what those elements are as far as like BDSM, kink, fetishes. But now, this is where it's kind of like, huh, so what does Sky do with E&M? Like, why does E&M, BDSM, kink tend to kind of intermingle? Now, the first element I do, this is all personal. I'm not, like, this wasn't me doing a 5-page dissertation. This is off the dome. This is just personal experiences, be it from conversations or things that I had to, like, look within myself and kind of think and figure out. Now, I would like to believe the main reason why that they tend to intermingle is, honestly, a bit of it is the taboo element. And no, E&M itself is not taboo. It's been around for God knows how long. I mean, honestly, it is believed that the cavemen were just having orgies left and right just to simply have children and because it felt good. So it's not like E&M itself is taboo, but in the society in which we stand, where religion is king, especially in a pseudo country America, like a pseudo Christian country like America, marriage, one man, one woman, that's it. Like, that's the overall belief. And so the fact that individuals kind of branch off from what the status quo is, kind of see it as a little bit of a taboo. Just like how a man can end up sleeping with another man. Like, the whole secret swinger parties that be happening even now in the Midwest, where it's like, oh yeah, I go with my wife, but they go to church on Sundays like nothing happened. You see that little taboo element, that little risque, little sprinkle of like, we're just doing a little something naughty, but we'll go ahead and pray to God for forgiveness. And so that's kind of what I mean by also going onto the side of like BDSM and kink. Because honestly, what we have deemed in this realm, especially for kink, because BDSM itself is a matter of protocol, matter of training, matter of risk, which can be a little bit more, heavier than just simply a kink. Like someone that likes a smack on the ass, a little impact, that could be considered a kink. So that's like, there are two different depths between the two. So either way goes, when it comes to like a kink or something to that nature, I see that the overarching element is that everyone is not into everything. And so in situations where there is something that, for example, my partner would prefer that I would not be into, that is where, like, if their kink is not my kink, but we want to stay together, we are okay. There are people that are okay with simply saying, all right, it's not my thing. I don't mind you finding people for that thing. So that's kind of where I see the intermingling was beginning to happen, because someone might be interested in like a gangbang with multiple men. And maybe her partner is not interested in that. Like, love her, wants her to feel all the pleasure, and is actually okay with her going out to seek that fulfillment. Because to them, it's like, yeah, I'd rather not be involved in that. But I am happy for you to go ahead and get that figured out. Same thing with, like, for instance, swinging. Again, swinging does fall under the E&M umbrella as long as both parties are knowledgeable of what's going on. Things have been discussed. Things have been communicated. Swinging does fall under that umbrella because it is a form of non-monogamy. And maybe the kink or the fetish for these people are group sex. And so they can't really enjoy a sexual interaction unless it's in a group setting. So thus, that's where kind of an E&M nature comes into it. But let's go ahead and take sex out of it, because BDSM can't, like, BDSM is not about sex. Can sex happen? Yes, we are sexual beings and we can negotiate anything that can fall under that. But it doesn't mean that sex have to be involved. But for example, there could be a partner that enjoys getting a level of impact to fulfill their masochistic nature, a pain slut, if you would say. And that person's partner might not be into causing pain or doing anything to that effect. And so in that instance, the partner is like, hey, let's go to this dungeon. You go ahead and get something that would fulfill you that I am unable to provide. And there you go. And then that's where that, again, it kind of just intermingles, where it's like there's something that they desire that someone may not be able to provide. And they just go about it via a different way. Again, this is just things that I've seen, or people I just discuss with, because I have been a part of scenes, because again, Sir Hito. You can follow me, Sir.Hito, on Instagram. I do these things of certain elements, whether it's impact, whether it's wax, whether it's rope. Like, I do these various things, and I will run into situations where a gentleman would just say, hey, can you go and do this for my partner? It's not something that I'm into, but I just want her to go ahead and experience it. Like, I've come across that. And it can get a little bit trickier because one question that I get that I still don't have the answer to is, can someone have, like, a main primary partner and also can they have a dom? It's hard for me to answer that because a dom-sub relationship can kind of interfere with what's going on with the dynamics of that person and their primary partner. Now, the best answer I normally come up with is, it depends on the dom-sub negotiations. Like, people joke and say, and there might be some validity to it, saying that all doms are just brats. It's just that they're a little bit more calmer with it. Sure, I can go ahead and run with that. But a proper dom would never put their submissive in a situation that is not helpful to them. And then it also gets even trickier in the MS dynamic, which is master-slave, where that is essentially a total power exchange. So it can get tricky trying to have a dynamic in that essence on the BDSM side of things, as well as have your partnerships. So more times than not, when it comes to that element, you normally just focus on being like a service bottom. You just go and experience the things from tops versus establishing a power dynamic exchange. Or if anything, you just hire a dom in order to fulfill certain desires, and then you just go back to your partner. But again, that's just things that I experience. Now, there is one important thing. Fix my mic. But there is one very important thing that I did want to say that kind of came up while I was thinking about this episode. And the idea of, like, passing your partner on, to which... like, because you hear it, like, one of the primary things, especially when we're talking about outsourcing in regards to E&M, it can be a bit tricky, because you, every now and again, you always hear, like, about having your partner find someone else to do something that you don't want to do, which, yeah, that is very true, very valid, but I feel like minimizing it to passing them along to someone else to get something, I feel like there's a little bit more nuance to that. Because look, when people get into partnerships, relationships, or anything that affect for whatever reason, be it financial, emotional, spiritual, sexual, etc., within those partnerships, we have certain capacities. That is whether capacity to share emotion, capacity to split bills, capacity just to, like, just be fucking around. Like, there are capacities that we have for any given moment in a day, for any given person, because, like, your partner's relationship are not just the only relationship you'll deal with in a day-to-day basis. Like, even the relationship of going to the grocery store and checking out, like, there's so many things that you kind of just honestly just go about, don't even have really forethought in what's going on, because you're just simply going about your day not realizing the amount of interactions you have. So we all have our level of capacity. Now, if there's something that is beyond my capacity, but my partner really does want that thing, that's when I feel like that's where the nuance is. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I want to go out on dates, regularly, like weekly, biweekly, or I want to go out on dates. And the other partner does not have capacity for dates. That's when it's like, okay, you got to make sure you kind of gauge the importance of these things, because if you want to go on dates and you're picking a primary partner that doesn't like going on dates, that's where I say things are tricky, because that at that point you might need to go ahead and think about what this relationship is overall about. Like, what are we doing here? Like, there are certain things that you got to make sure that who you with has the capacity for it, because the concept of if I can't do it, you're more than, like, you can find someone else that can do it. It's not to just simply pass the buck or be an inattentive partner. The idea of that is, there's something I, like, literally cannot do. whether it's because of physical, I'm not physically capable, or I'm not mentally capable, like there are certain things that I can't do, then yeah, that concept does make sense. Like, these are the things that I can provide for you, and you are receptive of them the same way these are things you can provide for me, and I'm receptive of those. And the like few things that may not be within that, it's okay, because there's so much more that we connect on together that will be fine, versus someone that's like, I have these things, I can't do any of them, and therefore, but there are these things you could do for me, and I love that. That's where things are imbalanced. That's where passing someone on, that's like you just being a shitty partner, because at that point, you're just in it to take and then not give and pass them, like pass them on per se. So that's where that's the reason why I say it's like nuance. So in like, for instance, I'm a cis-hetero man. I do not care to get pegged. I do not care to submit. So therefore, if my partner asks for certain things, like she wants to be with a woman, guess what? It's not me. It's not me. So that's where, yeah, you'll need to find someone else for that. I don't do pegging. You need to find someone else for that. Like, these are things that are not in my wheelhouse. But something like, oh, I want to go on a cute date. Oh, I want to travel. Oh, I want to do X, Y, and Z. That's what's like, yeah, I can actually do that. Like, it'll be one thing if I go on dates, travel and something with another partner and don't do it for my current partner. That's where it becomes like pass on to someone else. I don't want to do that with you. I'll do it with someone else. The things where I'm saying like I can't do means that it's not going to be done with anybody. So that's where I feel like that's the nuance between passing your partner off to someone else versus like having them seek what they're seeking from someone else. Because it would be a dick move if I'm over here with a second partner going to DC and then another partner of mine is like, ooh, I want to do that. Not can do it. Like, that is kind of shitty, especially if, as a relationship anarchist, I let that person know, like, oh yeah, we'll do X, Y, and Z, we'll do blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, yeah, nope, can't do that. You're gonna have to go find a whole new partner that's doing this thing that I'm already doing. See what I mean by it being a little bit different? But now back to the overall talks in regards to E&M, BDSM, and kink. Something that normally comes up, especially in like group chats with the old heads. If you go on Facebook every now and again, if you are in certain sex positive groups, you will come across a few people that'll have LS in their title. Though, funny story. There is someone I know from college where her like middle and last initial does LS, and she put that as her Facebook name. And now I'm thinking like, should I warn her? But I'm like, nah, I doubt anyone will come across that. But it'll be funny if she's been getting messages from like swingers and whatnot saying, oh, you LS. Maybe I should probably let her know. But anyways, these Facebook groups, you may come across someone that does state like, oh yeah, LS lifestyle, you know, upside down pineapples and the like. Now, you'll always see people ask, like, hey, what does LS mean to you? And this is where, again, it gets a little tricky, gets a little nuanced, because for some people, LS is just purely swinging. Flamingos, upside down pineapples, what they do in Florida, the not scrunchies, what were those things called? Loofahs. There we go. Like, that's what some people think LS is just purely swinging. Other people think LS is just essentially, alternative lifestyle, to which it's talking about BDSM and kink. You know, get tied down, get beat up, you know, get a little saucy with it. And some people see LS as a fusion of all the above, which includes, like, non-monogamy. It includes BDSM and kink. It includes swinging. It includes pretty much anything that is not the societal standard. And now you can see why certain groups get a little confused, especially if someone joins, oh, I'm in this lifestyle group, but it's like, all right, what kind of lifestyle are you talking about? Because it's such an umbrella term that there is no finite definition, because you could talk to the older people that have been in this like 20, 30, 40 years ago. I'm talking about the 70s and the like a love and peace era. Like, like their version of the lifestyle may be conducive purely of like group sex and swinging. You move up a little bit, more people get into like BDSM and kink, and they go ahead and say, oh, this is the lifestyle. And then you move, because as time goes along, words change meanings, and you kind of, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Because even now, if someone asks me what lifestyle is, all I can tell them is most things alternative to what society deems as the norm. That's the best way I could put it. Because am I a swinger with my anchor partner? Yes. Would I be a swinger with my secondary partner? Yes. I do enjoy that communal aspect, as long as everyone's being consensual and safe, of course. But it's just an overall, like, I'm here for a good time, not a lunchtime. And even now, like, because my anchor partner knows this, like, I will be dating again soon because I would like another, like, to date around, maybe have another anchor partner. Or, because I always say, I think my saturation point will be, like, two anchor partners and a submissive. I think that's because the way my ADHD is set up and because I don't want to oversaturate, because one thing I don't want to do is neglect my partners. So that's the reason why I feel like if I get to this point, that's where I gotta make sure I evaluate and figure out, like, all right, what all's going on. Cause like right now I have an anchor partner and I have quite a few like play partners, but it's more common situations where, hey, I'm in your city. Oh, you're in my city. You know, that kind of situation is nothing where it's concrete. Like I still chat with them daily. Like, cause I'm not about to be the person where it's like, I'm not gonna stay in contact with you unless I'm in your city. Like, no, y'all are cool people. Like, I love the people that I've met. I love the people that I play with. But as far as like when it comes to this, because again, the BDSM kink stuff, my anchor partner, she is on the more on the side of being a bottom. But as far as being a sub, I cannot say that, because I feel like for someone to be a submissive, there is work that has to be put done to understand what that role entails. And right now she's not in a place to like dig and figure out and learn. Like, she's still trying to figure out herself, still trying to figure out what it is that she wants in life. But we still go to play parties together. We still go to like sex vacations together. Like, we were in the Poconos in December having a great ass time. Had the whole MFM situation. Fun. Love it. But like in terms of like BDSM, I understand the limitations on her end. And I'm not going to force her to do something that she don't want to do. That makes no sense. Like, why would I say, oh, I need you to learn this? Is no. The only time I want the person I would want as a submissive is someone that is actually doing the work and would actually, like, enjoy me being their dominant. Because it would be a good time. Like, I have fun at these play parties. Like, there's a play party in May that I'm likely going to be able to make with the Hard or Soft people. And, like, everyone enjoys the stuff that I do, whether it's Impact, whether it's Wax. I'm learning my electricity play. Hopefully, at some point this year, I do want to learn fire. So I need someone to go ahead and help your boy learn fire play. Because, like, I'm getting distracted. Like, because I do understand the overall, like, concept. I understand the tools that are needed. I understand what you can do. Sorry. But just because I understand it doesn't mean I'm aware of everything. Because I feel like there's a lot of safety things I got to be mindful of. There are safety things I got to be mindful of. Because, again, how do I move hair? What about body hair? There are, like, elements of, like, where can I go and where can I go? And also, the way I prefer to learn and do the kink is I like for them to be done on myself first. Not because I enjoy the sensation. I don't like pain. I don't like being dominated. I don't like giving up control. But I like to feel what I'm doing to somebody. Now, there are certain limitations. Like when I'm doing an orgasm play. All right, I'm getting off track. Let me finish this up real quick. But like when I'm doing an orgasm play, I'm not over here thinking like, I don't know how it feels to have something inverted and inserted into a vulva, because guess what? I don't have a vaginal canal. So there are certain elements that I can't like feel, but I try to like feel everything I can. Like I tried my floggers on myself. I tried the electro kit that I got on myself because I need to know like what sensation am I doing to somebody? Because am I a natural empath? Yes, but emotions versus physical, like something feeling something physical, two different things. So I would like someone to actually like teach me fireplace, show me how it feels, so that way, again, because I can also gauge what happens on somebody. But yep, that was all. So be sure again, be sure to follow me. I am on Instagram, Hitchhiker's Guide to E&M. You can, find me on YouTube where I actually do have the video of this recording uploaded there. I am available on anywhere that you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music. I even think I still have iHeartRadio, so be sure to check me out. Oh, yeah, and Amazon Prime. I mean, Amazon Music. Don't know how I got on there, but we in there. So, yeah, be sure to follow, like, subscribe, share. 5 stars only, por favor, because you know I bring you the goods. Again, Hitchhiking E&M on Twitter. Hitchhiker's Guide to E&M on Instagram as well as Threads. I'm starting to like share more and get a little more active on there. And yeah, be sure to follow my TikTok, Ikepedia. Like I'm going to go ahead and start splitting things between BDSM, King E&M, and anime because your boy loves some anime. Be sure to tune in next week and I will catch y'all later. Be sure to look both ways before you cross these E&M streets. Bye y'all.